Hello, and welcome to another Hometown Daily News Show. I am Mayor Watt. That is hometown.com. That's what powers this and the many shows that I'm trying to bring here onto Twitch and over to YouTube, and the podcast exists, and there's a Discord, and all of that's available in various places. Just do a search. You'll find Hometown all over the place, at least nowadays. Up until this year, Hometown was largely a private endeavor where I used it to gather information that I used in my daily and business life. And I opened it up at the beginning of January to the public, and what you see there on the screen, I guess I should point my arrows over there, is the culmination of this. Years and years of work that was done over time and then subsequently made public. Let me stop something. Let's see if that's impacting my bandwidth. Okay, one second. And you might hear construction. I'm really sorry about that. There's not much I can do about it. I'm having work done here in Hometown. And it may come across on the mic, although it's supposed to be filtered out automatically. Anyway, enough of my jibber jabber. Hometown aggregates news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, usually between Sunday and Monday. There's only about 10 new pages worth of content. Some of my sources, my news sources, kind of get suppressed. They just stop publishing over the Sunday to Monday time frame. And then for whatever reason, it picks back up. I guess Sunday is a slow news day. Everybody's hanging out, not breaking the rules and not doing anything tremendous. I'm not quite sure. But apparently that's what happens. And you can actually see that in various data points where everything kind of gets chill over the weekend. People stop screwing up and people stop excelling. I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not really sure. But at any rate, my aggregator never stops. It's always going and it's finding new and interesting things for me to talk about here. And it's aggregating it into these six categories that you see across the top. Now, if you're in the podcast, you're not seeing any of this, but you're hearing it. And so I'll tell you what the articles are, the categories that are aggregated into, and that's create, news, education, entertainment, social, and technology. Now, within those are about 50, what I'm referring to as channels, but it's locations in Hometown. Wherein you can become a citizen of Hometown and then subscribe or become a fan of these niche areas where news is aggregated into. And eventually, each of these will be a show here on Twitch within the Hometown moniker, the Hometown umbrella, an umbrella corporation, if you will. Just kidding. That's a completely different place. And you don't want to go there because bad things happen in the umbrella corporation, like genetic modification and monsters and stuff like that. Anyway, these 50 shows are niche areas of interest that I have. Now, a lot of people have told me you want to do stuff that's popular. A lot of people say, do what you like, but then again, you have this complex meshing of, you have to do what other people like as well. But all of these areas are actually niche areas where there is a very large population of people, except that I can't do these shows, all of these shows, all myself. Because you're looking at like a standard process. If I were to do all of these, it would look like about 250 hours a week of prep and show. Well, you just can't do that. Not as a human being. Robots, artificial intelligence, machine learning, things like that, they can do that. But like my aggregator, it's gathering intelligence all the time. But I need a co-host. So if somebody would like to do a show or co-host a show with me, please get in touch. It's really easy to get in touch with me. It's all over the place. I won't throw it into the screen. It just kind of makes things messy. But if you want to do a show with me, then just get in touch and I will put you up there, or you can be here and I will go up there. It really depends on who wants to be in the top bunk. And we can do a show together. Right now, alerts appear up there and down there. And I would really like to get that alert right there. That one, that right there at 100%, but it's at 88%. Again, I'm not running around hyping it up. I'm not going into other people's channels. And I'm not making deals with anybody. And I'm not advertising. And so I haven't gone viral. Although some of the things that I've said seems to have ignited some. Because I don't say these things only on the stream. I say these out in the real world as well. You know, everybody says real world versus online. Anyway, maybe I'll end up on Reddit or something for having a live stream fail. Maybe I'll roll in here topless or something. I'm not sure. Do a hot tub stream. It'll have to be like a large but small hot tub to fit inside this window. I'm not quite sure the physics of this. If I fits, I sits. But let's get into today's news. This is the Hometown Daily News Show for June 20th, 2022. It's episode 171. I'm actually gesturing quite a bit, but my hands are not on screen. So I guess I have to raise my hands up to right about, here and gesticulate. But then it looks weird. And I was playing some games, and my camera, I realized that the focal length of my camera, if I leaned back a little bit, my head looks like a BB on top of a mountain of a body. And I'm not quite comfortable with that. So I'm going to have to sit a little straighter, and maybe from time to time do my show standing, since I have a sit stand desk. If you're curious about all the information that we talk about, then feel free to throw out a question or two, and I'm happy to talk about it, but I'll be throwing the news out. Yesterday I talked about this new Lego factory that's going to go up in North America. It's actually going to be in Virginia, but this article says new US Lego factory raises concerns about North American headquarters. So this is in the Daily News Show, and I'm going to just click the link. Again, I haven't read any of these articles, but I do have some experience in the various sectors that we talk about, from business to technology to science to society to various other things. I have, it's maybe like an inch deep, but it's 10,000 square miles of, or a million square miles. It doesn't, the amount of depth is not particularly deep, but I've got a little bit of experience all over the place. So I hope to have a conversation with a broad swath of people, and I never accept the idea that I'm the smartest person in the room. This article, though, is from ABC News. It's by the Associated Press. It doesn't have an author other than that, which I've always thought is weird because somebody had to write this. Lego Group's recent announcement that it'll build a factory in Virginia has focused attention on the company's North American headquarters in Connecticut, with some industry watchers saying it may not be a good sign for the company's future in that state. I'm not quite sure why that really matters. It's a manufacturing facility in Virginia that probably got a superior tax break. The Denmark-based global toy maker announced last week it plans to invest more than $1 billion to build said factory in a suburban Richmond neighborhood. It definitely isn't going to be in a high-priced location. To open in 2025, the facility will be the company's seventh globally and its first in the United States. Bringing back domestic manufacturing is spectacular. It shows the evolution and even revolution of the business sector so that it can still manufacture domestically while still meeting oversight and environmental rules. can be achieved through science and technology. Now, we're talking about Lego here, which has in and of itself a lot of technology and sophistication, but it also wants to be green. It also wants to be environmentally neutral. So chemicals and other things it doesn't want any part of. Maybe it can be held aloft as being a smart business, and others can follow suit and still bring the business domestic, bring it back to the United States. Yes, I know it's a Denmark-based global toy maker, but my point is others can follow suit and see that it doesn't impact the pricing of overall business to be domestic. It may hit your bottom line, the margin. It may hit the margin, but not the bottom line. So you're not going to take home as much individually, but you can still, for the investors, right? And that's one of the problems that I have with inflation. This inflationary trend right now is born entirely from producers wanting bigger margins. Instead of being an asset to humanity, they're being greedy and taking more than is necessary to sustain the enterprise, including forward growth. You can still charge with the idea of moving forward. The problem here is that things are a little bit out of alignment with what society needs right now. We're recovering from a pandemic. Your pocketbook doesn't need to recover as much, but there are a lot of people that are suffering greatly because of inflation so that you can have more profit. That's not necessarily what's happening with Lego, so don't tie the two together just because I brought it up. It's a process called associative thinking. You start somewhere, you end up somewhere else, and everything is tied together, but one isn't the direct cause of the other. Okay, not necessarily. Sometimes it is, but things are tied together. That's what society is. That's what essentially life as a human being is. And life is pretty much anything on the planet. But we are supposedly the only sentient entity on Earth. So is it really going to impact the corporation, the corporate body, because there is a new billion-dollar factory in suburban Richmond? No, I don't think so. So it says, it is commonplace for corporations to invest and expand in multiple states, and they do so for a wide variety of strategic reasons, Max Reese told the news outlet. Lego has been and continues to be a fantastic partner with our state, and we look forward to strengthening this relationship now and in the future. Yeah, I can almost count on this being a tax benefit in Virginia. I'd have to go and look. But not right now. So the next, I didn't post it in the chat. Silly me. Let's do that. There's the chat. The next article, and I'll throw that into chat before I start talking about it, or while I'm talking about it. Five new Steam games you probably missed, June 20th, 2022. By the way, there were demos all over Steam. I installed a bunch, but I didn't end up playing any of them, not on stream. And I really want to still, so I will probably start streaming later today. I have an appointment, I have a meeting that I need to attend, but I will come back, and I think I'm going to be streaming Above Snakes. I'm actually one of the Kickstarter pledgees, I'm not sure what to call myself there, but anyway, yeah, so I helped make that game, I guess, more profitable for the developer by helping to kickstart it, and I think it's a great game. I think there are some bugs in it, but I really dig it. That's probably going to be the first one that I play, but there are a bunch of others like Brotato I want to play. It's a simple game. I don't like these really like 4X games. They're too much of a time sink for me. But if you want to see me play a game, you know, let me know. probably won't get any requests, but it's worth throwing out there. On an average day, about a dozen new games are released on Steam, and while we think that it's a good thing, it can be understandably hard to keep up. Potentially exciting gems are sure to be lost in the deluge. This is the author speaking, by the way, of new things to play. So it's always great to have somebody else out there. That's why I like doing news aggregation and talking about it, because you just don't know what you don't know. This article is over at PCGamer.com by Sean Prescott. And I don't know if it's read out or read out. Anyway, read out too. I've actually seen some people play this. This is definitely not a game that somebody missed. This is definitely a well enough known game, but it's a racing game called Read Out 2 or Red Out 2. American Theft 80s. That's one that slipped by me. I do not know that one. Let me pause this video. Nightmare Frames. I have not seen that one, so I can... Not that I'm the only one that looks for things for everybody, but yeah, this is one I missed. Not sure about the game itself. Let's play it. I don't normally play the videos, but let's play it this time. I think I'll start doing that a little bit. So it's kind of a pixely game, you know, the old school style. Apparently, a point-and-click adventure game about trying to find the scariest horror film of all time. And it says, and no, the film is not Troll 2. They link to something, but I'm not going to follow that link. Final Vendetta is another one. Let's click that and we'll take a look at it. I'm going to fast forward it. All of these kind of games are like old school 80s games. Pixely games. Tile Tale, that's a different one. The latest tiny game from Sock Pop Collective is about pushing matching tiles together on a grid. If the tiles match, say, four forest tiles or four volcanic tiles, you'll unlock further tiles with their own rules. Interesting. That actually looks like it'll be fun. I will follow that and see. I'm going to add it right now, as a matter of fact. Tile Tale, huh? That looks like it's been released. So that isn't a demo. Interesting. So, because it was demo days over on Steam. Let me see if that is still going. I didn't pay attention to it. I thought it was just, it's still going until today. So today is the last day. Anyway, that was the five games that this author at PCGamer.com thinks was probably missed. But Tile Tale is a win, so thank you very much, Sean, for letting me know about it. Everybody else, go over to PCGamer, and you can follow the link through Ohmtown over to that specific article. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel, mainly because it has to do with business in some way. But this is about Representative Lauren Boebert calling Biden's infrastructure bill wasteful and garbage, but now she wants $33 million in infrastructure funding for a new bridge, and that is one hell of a sugar daddy. And if you don't know about it, there's stuff about Lauren Boebert out there. Hold on, let's see if I can. So apparently Lauren Boebert is starting legal action over these sugar daddy claims. Lauren Boebert says that she's suing over accusation that she was involved in, accusations that she was a paid escort on Sugar Daddy site. The PAC that targeted Madison Cawthorn claims Boebert was introduced to Ted Cruz through a client linked to the Kochs. I guess, according to their investigation, Boebert was hired by let's not get into all of that. That's a little bit too much. But anyway, she's denying the accusations, and Boebert's attorney sent a letter to the American Muckrakers PAC regarding the claims that she was an unlicensed paid escort who had two abortions, pledging to bring civil defamation lawsuits against the PAC. And they said that it was blatantly false and disgusting accusations, and not going to stand by and pretend this is normal behavior. Okay. So there you go. Meanwhile, Boebert sent a letter to the transportation secretary, Buttigieg. Sorry, I haven't had enough coffee today. Buttigieg. Supporting the South Bridge project in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. The project would provide access to evacuation routes as the city grapples with dangerous wildfires. Glenwood Springs Mayor Jonathan Goetz told Insider he's happy to have Boebert's backing despite her lack of support for the infrastructure bill. Yes. So this comes down to my philosophy about a lot of people lately, particularly of an ideological bent, is that they are sociopathic, psychopathic, antisocial, in that they want to take, but they don't want to give. And when they do give, it's utilitarian and siloed. It's couched within the, you are a utility to me. As long as you follow me, I will support nearly whatever it is that you do. That's kind of how I feel about this, because they're asking for $33.1 million in federal funding, yet denouncing the infrastructure bill, calling it wasteful and garbage, when there is no way to know if anybody has read this to form that opinion, or been simply told, hey, I want you to do this or that or whatever. Let's click this link, and it'll take us over to Business Insider, and the article was written by Isabella Zavarez, or Zavarez. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that last name. Anyway, the project would provide access to evacuation routes. So I think that it would be great, right? But you can't take and not give. That's my argument about this. Why is it like this? And I've had conversations with people who have said, well, you can be against something and still want something. And yes, that's absolutely sure and true. However, not everybody believes in the need for a new bridge, right? So why are you denouncing the entirety of an infrastructure bill while still trying to sap resources for your own particular needs, wants, at the cost of everybody else, and discounting everybody else in the process? You know, everybody, it's a rather selfish endeavor. And now I know you can't have everything, but you've got solutions, right? You don't need this bridge. Do it some other way, solve the problem some other way, than spending $33 million on an infrastructure bill for yourself. You know, find some cheaper way. I'm sure you can limit the fires that are raging by doing things along the fire corridor. You just find other ways to solve that problem, right? Maybe that's what everybody should be saying right now. But that's not what everybody's saying. Let's go on to the next article. That's in the Hatch Ideas channel. Gaming giant NetEase plunges nearly 7% after it delays release of Diablo Immortal in China. China's gaming sector, which is only just emerging for a month-long freeze of approvals from regulators. I'm not really fond of the ecosystem. Let me continue on to this site here. So the delay is due to the development team making some adjustments, including support for a wider range of devices and network. and performance optimizations. Yeah, right. According to a statement, Diablo Immortal, a mobile and PC game, was co-developed by NetEase and Activision Blizzard, the company Microsoft plans to buy. Yeah, my problem is data is being parsed. You can almost count on it. And I am not a big fan of it. And I'm also not a fan of Diablo Immortal's microtransaction processes, where somebody, there was another streamer that posted their process of trying to get one of the purples, for lack of a better understanding of everything that went down. And you need these to excel in the game. It costs the person $25,000 to get one. And so regardless of the game, maybe you can enjoy it, but just understand that it is a means to tap you for money. And if it's a free to play game, then you're using resources. Literally nothing is for free. Something costs time or money. And in that vein, understand that that is the objective, is to tap your wallet for money. But $25,000 for one purple is rather outrageous. Maybe it was really poor random number generation, RNG, random number god performance. But stay aware of it. You know, and that streamer, I can't remember their name, streamed it so that you didn't have to. And now you can basically say, well, I don't have $25,000. And they spent $25,000 in New Zealand dollars, which looks a lot more. But NetEase and Blizzard's move comes at a sensitive time for the Chinese game industry, which only just emerged from a month-long freeze. So we'll see what happens, but they delayed it and took a hit, and it's all because the culture is controlled by an organizational body, so that you can't push too much in away from the internal siloed cultural ideal. Yet. Again, like the Boebert idea, money and data and all of this other stuff is being aggregated by the government, and some people are benefiting because of their connections and alliance or alignment with that ideology, and so very few in the totality of the culture are benefiting from other cultures. At any rate, this article is over at CNBC.com by Arjun Karpal. And I really don't like insular anything. I don't like cliques. I don't like silos. I don't like things happening in the shadows. I think it's rather abusive, but it's going to take the people of that society to, flip the table and change things. And as I've said in other places, one person's hero is another person's terrorist. One person's freedom fighter is another person's terrorist. It really depends on what side of the fence you're on. So this is an article, again, over by CNBC, and it's written by Arjun Karpal. Let's go on to the next article. I have quite a few, and I actually need to get done by 12. I may have to cut today's stream short because I'm soapboxing so much. Introducing Elka Watches, a new brand of vintage-inspired watches launching on Kickstarter. This is in the channel Band of Bezel. Click the link, and it'll take me over to Monochrome, which is monochrome-watches.com. I wish that they would have gotten just Monochrome, but that didn't work out. The dash watches kind of throws things off for me. Anyway, this is a Kickstarter. The article was written by Bryce Gouliard. They have a date window. I don't like the date window. Anyway, there are dozens of watch-related projects launched on Kickstarter and other crowdfunding platforms every month with more or less interest. Sometimes we stumble across something cool, nicely executed, and with a captivating background, something like this. Elka Watches, E-L-K-A. I'm going to scroll down and see. These are kind of standard fair watches, at least for me. You know, nothing too outlandish and nothing revolutionary for me. But I always will love the engineering involved inside the works. That doesn't really scream out for me. Anyway, go over to Kickstarter. You can follow the link through Ohmtown over to Monochrome-Watches. The next article is in the Continuity Report, What Stopped Pixar's Lightyear from Going to Infinity and Beyond at the Box Office. I'll take a stab at it. Lightyear, Buzz Lightyear, was largely a character that didn't impact the storyline in any real way across the entirety. Yes, I understand that he was a major player, but I think anybody could have been that part, not necessarily Buzz Lightyear. Even though the messaging around that person, around Buzz Lightyear, was largely that he believed that he was a real spaceman, they turned it into something. They forced it into this. And I just don't think that it really connected. I'm going to click the link. It'll take us over to Variety.com, and Rebecca Rubin is the author. What Stopped Pixar's Lightyear from Going to Infinity and Beyond at the Box Office? Let's see if my understanding of this. It says, for industry analysts, those lackluster ticket sales were confounding because Pixar had been box office royalty and Lightyear, a spinoff of the cosmically successful Toy Story franchise, landed decent, though not euphoric reviews. Moreover, audiences who awarded the film an A- in cinema score seemed to be entertained by the animated otherworldly adventure in which Chris Evans takes over from Tim Allen as the voice of Buzz Lightyear. To be sure, a $51 million opening weekend is far from catastrophic. In fact, Lightyear landed one of the best debuts for an animated kid-friendly film in COVID times. COVID times, though, is... Sorry, this is my soapboxing. COVID times is nothing. I mean, people are tired of going out. And really, the ecosystem today, I mean, the society is really kind of grappling with the idea of returning because you can still get sick. And costs are going through the roof. I'm not really sure how this makes a difference. Nobody wants to go to see a movie anymore, although some will because they like whatever it is. But this isn't something that really compels me to go out. We can wait for it to land on television. For Pixar, Lightyear ranks one of the studio's lower starts behind 2017's Cars 3, $53 million. Cars 3, you know, again, this is a thing that made people, when they looked at Cars 3, everybody said it's a money grab. So what prevented Lightyear from going to Infinity and Beyond at the box office? The author here says, or actually David A. Gross says, Lightyear is running into limitations of the spinoff form. This is still elite business. It's just no longer defying gravity. David A. Gross runs a movie consulting firm, Franchise Entertainment Research. So one of the constraints is that Lightyear had an unusually confusing premise, one that probably sounded a lot catchier in Buena Vista boardrooms than it did in the movie puzzling marketing materials. And that's just it. There was no obvious story there other than, you know, this toy going into space. But really, it's a toy. There's nothing really there to grapple with other than this is all imagination. What is really going on here? At least the premise of Toy Story was that the toys come to life when people aren't watching, and this is what goes on. I'm going to continue on to the next article. I'm already 40 minutes into this and falling behind. I've got a lot of news. Apple HomeKit versus Apple Home, new air purifier and more on HomeKit Insider. Going to click the link, take us over to Apple Insider, and Andrew O'Hara did the writing for this article. And this is actually a podcast called HomeKit Insider. And so if you go over to Apple or other podcasting catchers, you'll be able to do a search and download this podcast. But they talk about a few things. In the aftermath of WWDC, there appears to be a push by Apple to rebrand its smart home platform rather than being known as Apple HomeKit, which is actually in the developer thing. Apple is recommending developers and manufacturers say Apple Home, which is fine, but it's HomeKit that powers it. So this makes sense, as HomeKit has always been the framework and lacked any consumer-facing marketing name. So that's exactly what they just reiterate in this article. And that's kind of how I've always thought of it, that it's Apple Home and HomeKit is what powers it. So go over and you can watch the HomeKit Insider podcast. We'll go on to the next article, which is in the continuity report. How can we use technology to connect with the world in the midst of a family where I find most blissful state? This is the author speaking, not me. I grew up in a large family dynamic and always felt loved and supported by my village. This remembrance of family belonging has kept me centered in a sometimes idealistic love of people and zest for community building and engagement. Mediums like film, TikTok are pathways to learning about how people treat each other in friendships, family dynamics, and in community. Yeah, no, it's romanticized there. This is an article over on RogerEbert.com by Nyani Scott. You can go over and read more about this, but yeah, I grew up in tech. The first time I accessed the internet was when I was 10 years old, and I did it before the Department of Defense left the internet to commercial enterprise. So it was a small I, not a capital I, when I first utilized the internet. And we're talking, I used it with a dial-up modem, acoustic-coupled modem, where when you hit the keyboard, it took seconds for one letter to appear on the screen, signifying that it had been sent. I've been around the block of the internet for a long time, and we have romanticized, and this article really screams, you know, through mediums such as Netflix and TikTok, there are a wide range of global and cultural outreach available to American students. Yeah, you've got to find it. You got to sift through it. There's a whole lot of noise in all of this. So let's continue on. I will continue to post the links in chat and in the show notes later over on YouTube and the podcast, but I'm going to have to keep hustling here. I'm very far behind, and I've got somebody showing up and I have to leave. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. The U.S. economy will grind to a halt in the second half of 2023, and the following year won't be much better, Bank of America says, as it slashed its growth forecast. This is of everybody's making. Not everybody, but this is of the producers' making. So if the producers would back the hell off of raising prices and kind of eat the dog food that they've created, guess what would happen? No inflation. Inflation is greed, and that's why I call it greedflation. The only reason why we are suffering right now from interest rates spiking, CPI spiking, inflation in general, and eventually stagnation and recession is because people want money now instead of just riding the expected growth rate of 3%. just sit there and do that. But what happens is people want multiples, and then something has to happen to recover it in time. Otherwise, everything collapses, and you have to cause it to collapse, and then you can get in at the ground floor, but it's always producers. It's always people with means to suffer through this without being much bothered. But all of the people below, all of the people that don't have great wealth, usually because of their family wealth, allowing the people with wealth to build more wealth on nothing but money. This is the same thing as monarchy. This is the same thing as kings. This is the same thing as the landowners in various places. Because of their hegemony, they have the ability to exploit it to their end instead of to society's gain. And it's all us fighting on the ground while they're eating filet mignon on the table. They, all conflicts are borne by the poor more than the rich. And only once all of the poor rise up and say no more of this crap does change come to the ultra rich. Well, we're in the 21st century now, and really war should be nothing. We should be exploiting technology, and everybody should be of greater benefit, but that's not what is going on. We are still in the same dynamic of abuse of others to benefit ourselves. Bank of America expects, analysts expect U.S. economy to slow to nearly zero by the second half of 2023. I think it's going to come sooner than that. So while the risk of recession this year is low, I don't see that. Bank of America sees a 40% probability starting next year, and 2024 isn't looking much better. Let's click the link to give credit to Business Insider for my aggregation, but Brian Evans is the author of this article. And so they're thinking that 2024 isn't looking much better, as analysts see only a modest rebound by then. I don't see a rebound in 2024. But let's see how my prognostications play out. This would be the first time that I actually publicly talk about my particular perception of data. Now, B of A sees GDP growth slowing to nearly zero by the second half of 2023 due to the impact of tighter financial conditions. Yeah, it's the people with the means who exploited society since the dawning of time as much as possible. And now because they want to recoup 2.5 years of basically downturn, and there is a ton of money in the system, they don't want to allow that money to sit and grow. They want to accrue it all because people have to pay bills. And if they have to pay bills, then they can get the money from them and invest it back to them at a higher interest rate. And that causes inflation. The only reason why there's inflation is because people are loaning money at a higher rate, and people are paying for stuff because the producers are charging more for the products so that they can recoup more money. A vicious circle, and it's going to keep on pressing down the middle class because they aren't the ones that are making money on their money. So let's continue on the next article. Pardon me one second. Yeah, I'm going to leave all of this in. I'm multitasking now. Okay, I'm sorry about that. So this person visited Pizza Hut in the metaverse and found a fundamental misunderstanding of what customers want. So let's click this link and just go straight over to Business Insider. Mary Meisenzahl is the author of this article. The pizza chain gave visitors the chance to win free pizza in the digital world. They tried it for themselves, and they don't think fast food in the metaverse mix. Well, it's pure marketing. In the metaverse, this is pure marketing. You don't get to experience anything. It's virtual environment, so it doesn't have real physics impacting you. There is no physical suit. This isn't Ready Player One. You know, They visited other fast food chains in the metaverse, including Chipotle's Roblox Burrito Builder earlier this year. It's all marketing crap. The real experience is in the real world, but you can experience certain things in the virtual world and get information. But building a burrito is just dense. Unless you're learning something because you want to start making burritos for Chipotle, it makes no sense. I mean, it's a good learning environment. It's a good social environment. It's a good entertainment vehicle. But who really wants to go to Chipotle in a virtual environment and make a burrito? I don't know, man. I would love how it's made in a virtual environment so I can, at my leisure, walk around in a factory and see how certain things function. But I'm not going to get that level of detail, at least not yet, not until somebody takes how it's made and turns it into a meta space, a metaverse, a virtual. I'm not going to ever say meta or metaverse space. A virtual space, a virtual environment. Spent the first few minutes getting their bearings, figuring out how to move around and chat. It's all just clunky and goofy. I don't get it. Anyway, I mean, I get it. Believe me, I've been doing VR for decades. I did fundamental research in VR in terms of phobia and phobia treatment and learning and pain management. But this metaverse thing is just hype garbage. The next article is, it would be great for shopping, going and looking at something, but it isn't even real world physics. So it's not like you can actually see yourself, your physics, your interaction, and interact with something in a way that it is real world impacting. It's all a perception that it might come close. Anyway, the next article is in the Mobile Channel. Russia becomes China's biggest crude oil supplier, and they have the same drive and motivation. So, and their locality, their immediate neighbors, so of course they can just support each other. Anyway, Europe cuts imports from Russia, and so they have to turn to a country like China, which is hyper-local. China imported 8.4 million metric tons of crude oil from Russia, and unless the rest of the world just starts denouncing China as well as Russia, this dynamic is going to persist, and there's a lot of money in China, so I'm sure they're giving them a hell of a deal. Let's go over to the next one. The next article is in the Hatch Ideas channel. I tried meditating with a virtual reality headset that, quote, put me on the beautiful Swedish coast. Here's what it looked like. We'll click the link and take you over there. This is a Business Insider article as well. Gabrielle Benez is the author of this article. They tried meditating in a virtual reality program from Warpin Media. It took them to the coast of Sweden. Warpin serves B2B customers and has provided VR training programs for companies like H&M. Yeah, I think that VR has a potential of helping in meditation and wellness. The problem is that a lot of people think that technology and meditation and wellness are the antithesis of each other. You really can't have tech in your life, particularly strapped to your head, if you're trying to become one with the universe, one with nature, one with the world. But others find value in it. So Warpin sent them the Pico headset, and it's comfortable. Strap fits snugly on the back of the head and rests gently on your face. You can do that with pretty much any headset. When you don the headset and turn it on, you are transported quite convincingly to space with a floating option screen. Yeah, I don't know about convincingly. You'd have to know what space is to know what convincingly in space is. This feeling of being in a real place virtually is known as presence in the scholarly world and immersion when it comes to VR. Mm. So after you turn on the remote, the program prompts you to point it to orient the device in your hand. This is exactly like others, which is great. It's simple. It looks like it's wireless, and that's going to be great for adoption. So go over to this Apple Insider article and you can read more about it. The world's oldest stone bracelet ever found is 40,000 years old. This is in the Bead Baby article, or the Bead Baby channel. One second, I'm sorry. Let me do something. Sorry, just need to make sure that I am available for something. Okay. Let's click the link and it'll take us over to Beating Gem. Beatinggem.com is actually a person. Pardon me. And so they're writing about how this is the world's oldest stone bracelet ever found is 40,000 years old. And there it is. Pretty interesting. So we were making stuff 40, 50,000 years ago, I'd say. But for whatever reason, we always say that society basically existed 5,000 years ago. I think that we've existed a lot longer. We just, you know, things decompose and things have been washed away. And most of our land has been kind of tumultuous. It's been changed, and we haven't found our history enough. And humans, definitely, we've broken down into basically from whence we came, the dirt, the soil. Anyway, let's continue on. You can go over, you can follow that article by going through Ohmtown. Here, I'll throw the link into the chat. There you go. Let's continue on. I've got four more articles, including this one here. Shipwreck of World War II barge that sank in 1943 has reemerged, and that's because of climate change, folks. Italy's Po River, the country's largest, hasn't seen rain in more than 110 days, and the drought threatens Italy's drinking water supply, irrigation for farming, hydroelectric power plants. We have the same thing going on in the United States. This is a global catastrophe in the making, folks. I don't think we are prepared for it at all. The Zabello, a 160-foot barge that transported wood, is now rediscovered because it sank and the water has dropped far enough that people can go and look at it. Right. So this is in Italy, and we have the same thing happening. Lake Mead here in the United States has dropped nearly 5 feet in a week or two. Let's continue on. This is an interesting one. You wouldn't think that there's this many type of identifiable separate types of hops, but apparently there is. And I used to make beer. It's a lot of fun. Pardon me. I'm really sorry for the coughing. But the brand that is, or the brand, the category of hops, Citra, which adds a citrus, sweet hop to, or flavor to, to beer or other things that you use hops in, has taken over, apparently. There are others like CTZ and Mosaic. And Mosaic is number two now, but it has changed in popularity over the years. But everybody seems to like this Citra now. You can follow the link over at beerandbrewing.com, an article by Jamie Bogner. Go check it out. This next article is in the Word in Tech, the Archive Saving Home Sewing from the Trash. So sewing patterns are meant to be trashed or not. And I think that we should keep an archive of things from the past. There are a lot of people that do this with data. Lauren A. Green keeps her antique sewing patterns in plastic tubs stashed in the first floor workshop of her old Victorian home. This is an article by Mia Sato over at TheVerge.com. I don't know. I think patterns should be, a copy of them should be stored. And it's easy nowadays to reproduce a pattern. So this is for the community of vintage sewing enthusiasts. An unassuming website maintained by the University of Rhode Island is a priceless and irreplaceable treasure. The Commercial Pattern Archive is one of the few projects in the world that safeguards these documents that are fragile, easily forgotten, and born to die because you use them when you're making your clothing, whatever it might be, and they are consumed. Unfortunately, they're protected in such a way that you're not supposed to be able to reproduce them with ease because it is a design, so it has a copyright. I mean, it's created by somebody, and so it's actually a design. A labor of love, insistence on the part of a small team of historians, costume designers, archivists, and hobbyists. The archive began in the 1990s and includes a physical stash and digital database of English language patterns unparalleled in its scope and depth. If you're interested in this kind of thing, go over to The Verge, follow that link, and go through Hometown and you'll find it. Finally, the last one, and I really do have to go. I've actually received a whole bunch of phone calls lately while I'm doing this show. I don't know why all of a sudden everybody wanted to bother me. They didn't bother me at 6 o'clock in the morning, but now they do, and I've got somebody showing up at my office. So the next article is in the Mobile channel. Astronomers discover two new polars. By analyzing the data from SPECTRA-RG Space Observatory and from the Zewicki Transient Facility, astronomers from the California Institute of Technology and elsewhere have discovered two new polars. And the discovery is reported in the paper published June 9th on the Archive Preprint Repository. One second, I'm sorry. This is astronomers discover two new polars. Cataclysmic variables, CVs, are binary systems comprising of a white dwarf and a normal star companion. They irregularly increase in brightness by a large factor and then drop back down to a quiescent or quiescent state. And that basically, that word quiescent is, it calms back down, becomes less bright, less violent, hostile, less chaotic. It basically calms down. And polars are a subclass of cataclysmic variables distinguished from other CVs by the presence of a strong magnetic field in their white dwarfs. So it's a normal star and a white dwarf. They circle each other and sometimes draw enough energy from the normal star that it flashes. So now a team of astronomers led by Caltech's Antonio C. Rodriguez has found two new polars, which receive designation, and they give the designation. So I'm going to encourage you to go over to this article and read it for yourself because it goes really in depth. And it's neat that they discover these kind of things. I would like the world to unify enough to fight finally the real enemy, which is ourselves, and band together to get us off this planet, find additional resources and bring them back to Earth and make Earth a better place instead of fighting over little slices of land so that we can get to X, Y, or Z. Quit looking at each other as if it's them versus us. Quit thinking in the tribal mindset that everybody else is the enemy. Quit forcing a particular ideal that is a niche and cannot be verified in any way, shape, or form as existing in the real world. Yet that's exactly what we do. And willful ignorance and eschewing technology and even education is the antithesis of being part of society. If you want to be, well, let's have a discussion. I encourage you to come to Ohmtown and have a conversation. But again, keep in mind, vitriol will get you nowhere. And if that's what you want, don't bother coming. With that in mind, I'm going to refresh the front page of Ohmtown and let you know again that it always is updating and you can come and hang out anytime you want. In the meantime, I'm going to get out of here. It's the last article for the day. Thanks again, everybody. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.